This is News from the Peak. I'm Joe Mamlin.
Welcome to another installment of our Community Table Talks format. And here with a little bit more about today's show is Maureen Life.
The Community Table Talk format is where we bring friends and colleagues together and we ask them the same question on the same topic, and then we get a variety of opinions. And today's Table Talk is about volunteerism. And one of the reasons why I picked this topic was because, and this will ring true in our guests today, they're all really busy people who have a lot of responsibilities, both in their personal and private lives, with family and jobs. But all four of them make a really concerted and mindful effort to get involved in something they're passionate about and volunteering their time. For me, if these four people can do it, I really believe anyone can be a volunteer. They're going to give us some of their thoughts on volunteerism, how to get involved, and what you get back out of volunteering. And on the podcast, we've got Veronica Riley, a friend and consultant of Gray's Peak, who has her own training and consulting company. And then my very best friend, Stephanie Jones, who's the president of her own PR company and one of my friends who really pushed me to start my business as well. And then we've got Trisha Harper, who's a lead partner with KPMG. And we've got Janice Neal from our team, who's a consultant with us working on some technology projects. So I'm excited for you to hear what they have to say.
So once again, we're welcoming Veronica Riley, Stephanie Jones, Trisha Harper, and Janice Neal. It might be a little long, but it's going to be a great show. So stick around, and we'll be right back.
When you left San Joaquin County, you started doing some volunteering right away, like literally right away. And so I was really impressed with that. And two, I thought that you talking about it got me so excited. And that's kind of what got the ball rolling for the idea of this, is that even when we think we're at our most busy, can't take another thing on, stressed out, like sometimes volunteering is like the most grounding thing you can do, even in all the mix of your own chaos.
I did start the week after I left my job. I had my last day on a Friday, and I had two shifts the following week with Meals on Wheels. And that is something, I don't know why, but Meals on Wheels is something I have wanted to volunteer at for years. Like, I remember being in my young 20s and I was like a child support caseworker just starting out, and I was trying to figure out a way to volunteer with Meals on Wheels, but I just couldn't make it work from a scheduling perspective because it is midday, midweek, or during the week, I should say, midday. So I could just really never make it work. So now that I can, and I wanted to make it a priority. So there is a senior center in the town that I live in, and they're the ones who runs the Meals on Wheels program. And they actually do two things. They have at the senior center, they have a hot meal, like a lunch, where people can actually just come in, and they actually serve about 100 seniors every day for lunch. And it's really cool because it's a great place for them to come and socialize, which is a really, you know, big deal, especially as you get older and a lot of people have like lost a spouse or whatever's gone on in their lives, but it's a great place for them to come. And so it's just kind of jump in when you go in there, and they've got class line dancing and sewing and all these different activities, tax preparation classes and all kinds of fun activities. But then they do serve the meals there. So that's about 100 people. And then we have an additional 100 people that are actually on the Meals on Wheels route. And so that is, I think, eligibility requirements, you have to be 60 or older, and they're homebound seniors. So we serve about 100 people every day. And when I say every day, it's unfortunately, it was only Monday through Friday. and they get one meal per day. We do a welfare check on the senior, which is nice. And sometimes, you know, because these are generally speaking homebound seniors, sometimes this is the only person they'll have any contact with for the entire day. So
yeah,
to me, that's a really big deal too. And so we do a little bit of a welfare check, just kind of, and we can't spend a ton of time, but, you know, chat it up with them and to see, you know, the smiles on their faces and how appreciative they are. And it's just a really, really amazing program. And I'm very passionate about supporting it. I think they do good work. And I worry sometimes about these people because it's one meal a day, 5 days a week. What about the other 2 days a week? What about the weekend? And what about the other meals? Are these people eating? It's been a really interesting thing to be a part of. And I feel very, very lucky to be working there.
And so when every time you've talked about it, I can just sense what you're also getting out of it. Not, you know, I mean, of course the seniors are getting meals and someone cares about them and there's so much to that, but I also just kind of get such a sense from you of like what meaning it's brought to you. And so that's one of the first questions on the community table talk is, you know, beyond the altruistic reasons, what are some of the personal and professional benefits that you've witnessed and how have you personally been impacted?
Yeah, personally, I mean, there's just a sense of the warm fuzzies, I guess you could call it, right? And there actually is, I was doing some research on volunteerism and there actually is brain science that actually backs that up. There's brain chemistry going on when you do something nice for another person and you help them, that you actually do get a hit of dopamine and all of those kind of things are activated in your brain. But just, you know, for me, you know, that personal emotional sense, I really just feel, you know, I do get the warm fuzzies. I feel good. And I really like people. And so to be able to run the meal up to the door and interact with them briefly, it really gives me that selfishly, that sense of oh my gosh, I've done something really good. And there's making that connection too, just connecting with people has been, I think, really, really good for me. And I think it's also fosters that sense of empathy and compassion. So I know I'm personally getting that because it really makes you stop and think, right? Because the people that we're serving on the Meals on Wheels route, it's very diverse, I'll say. And some of these people are in living situations that are less than ideal, right? Some people are, they have caretakers, some people don't, you know, some people live alone. It's heartbreaking at times, to be quite honest with you, but that, you know, gives you that still that sense of compassion and empathy. And so I think it's really opened my eyes to a lot of things that are going on in my community that I live in. And so that's been really important to me to figure out how can we perpetuate this and keep helping people. So I'm personally getting, you know, that out of it. I've also made friends with, you know, the other people who are volunteering, right, on the route with us and at the center. And so it's actually grown my network even more. And most of the people who volunteer are retired. I will say I bring the age demographic down, but you know, so I've just met a lot of people and like, I'll see them around town now, you know, so it's like grown my little friend network even more. And I'm relatively new to the city that I live in, and I don't know a ton of people. I didn't grow up here or anything. So it's been kind of nice, you know, just to stimulate my social network as well. And then the second part of your question, I think you asked us from a professional standpoint. And I think volunteerism is really good, especially if it's something that you're not used to doing, right? It gets you outside of your comfort zone and you can learn new skills. I'm not learning new skills per se with, like, you know, running a meal up to a door, but learning about their operation and how it all works. So even that, like from a professional standpoint, while it, you know, doesn't necessarily directly impact the work that I do in child support, I think it's just getting out there into the community and learning about the need and seeing what other ways we can help the community. And I've grown my social network, just kind of those other types of opportunities are kind of spinning off from there, which I think from a personal as well as a professional standpoint, are good things.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you nailed it. And I think they're like these unintended, like you didn't sign up to do Meals on Wheels because you needed to grow your social network. You know, it wasn't like your goal, but it's these unintended consequences of these types of actions. And it's interesting that one of the things that you said, because after law school, I couldn't find a job right away. And my dad said, start volunteering because you One, it keeps you active and keeps you engaged, but also grows your social network, and it gets you thinking about things in a different way. And so it's interesting. You know, when you think you should be at home, like connecting to people on LinkedIn, there's this other theory that, you know, you're linking in with this diverse group of people that, you know, you can interface with that you might not otherwise. So
absolutely true. 100%. Cause you're right. You said it, thinking about things in a different way. Like that's really been, I think, beneficial to me, is again, seeing that need in the community that was there, that I think was, I guess, right in front of me, but I never was aware of it. You know, and yeah. Then something else that kind of broke my heart is we have a waiting list. I didn't know that there was a waiting list for the program. So, which obviously means there's not enough funding for it, right? Why would there be a waiting list if we were perfectly funded and had all the volunteers we needed? So it's like seeing those other needs as well in the community and what we can do to hopefully address them, because there's so much of it goes back to poverty, right? And elder care, yeah. And elder abuse. And, you know, there's just all kinds of other things that weave into it, but not to be on the negative side of volunteering, but I still view that as a positive thing. You know, when you see the need that exists in the community that I was not aware of, I was oblivious to.
Yeah. Well, and that is like the perfect segue to the second question, that when you're volunteering, especially in a community that you're not interfacing with, or, you know, these are really complex social issues, in learning about the complexities of the different issues within our own communities that we aren't witnessing every day. Have you had any experience or observations where the volunteering played a pivotal role in changing in the community, or maybe you've seen change that needs to happen in the community?
I think I'm seeing change that needs to happen in the community for sure, but I have, just from talking with some of the people who are at the senior center and some of the other volunteers, for them, it has made such a difference in their lives to have that sense of community, the place to go, the volunteering, you know, the benefits that they get, especially as elders. But just one thing that sticks out to me, just the other day, one of the people on our route, she lives alone, pretty frail, and she had fallen, and she was on the ground for almost an entire day because she lives alone. I'm gonna start crying now. Sorry. And nobody, you know, there was the Meals on Wheels people who were able to find her the next day. So she had fallen, you know, in the evening. And then it was just, if not for the Meals on Wheels route, you know, coming to her door and being like, oh, she's not there. And then she was calling out, and the door was locked, unfortunately. So we had to call the police, and then the police were able to basically break into the house and get her the help that she needed. And then now she's actually realized she can't live alone and has moved into an assisted living facility, right? But just things like that too, it's like, if not for organizations like this going out and doing that work, a lot of people would be really feeling in a bad spot. So
yeah,
that to me was a tangible example of, you know, just beyond getting the people the food and the nourishment that they need, but to have actual physical welfare checks that we're doing on people is also really an important component of it, that I think I didn't even realize that was part of it.
Just the social part is like, your mental health is so important to your physical health. And so if you're, you know, kind of shut in and not able to interface with people, and you really don't have a purpose, and that social piece of you is not well, it's like the physical kind of follows along with that. So even though the senior center may be serving, you know, physical needs like meals and, you know, welfare checks, it also really probably plays a really important role in keeping seniors, you know, mentally engaged and socially engaged. That goes a long way with your physical health.
Yeah, it really does. And even from my perspective, and getting off topic a little bit, kind of going back to your first question, but for me to get outside of myself and do something that's not work related, that's completely independent of that, it's almost a stress reliever in a weird way, if that makes any sense. Cause you're not up in your own head and thinking about work or thinking about, you know, your home or your kids or your whatever you've got going on personally in your life. And to truly do something that is outside of yourself is oddly comforting, and getting in the zone, doing something else. All you're thinking about is the task at hand, right? And you're not bogged down with all the other normal things you'd be thinking about or stressing about. And going back to what I was saying about, you know, empathy and all of that, it makes you really look at, you know, how good you have it. And it also makes you think about future planning, right? And, you know, conditions that some people live in are actually quite unbelievable, you know, and so anything we can do to help out. So back to your other question, you know, on the greater systems, I'm seeing firsthand the need for social policy change, you know, different way to look at, you know, funding perhaps, and real world need out there for some of these senior citizens. And there's some of them in situations where I think elder abuse is going on too, right? So that's something, you know, that we can actually help out with from our Meals on Wheels program, and let the authorities know when we come across those situations too. So there's just so much, like, and this is just one issue, right? This is not a youth, yeah. This is just the elder care situation. This is just one tiny thing of our world, right? And I think that, yeah, we can really find opportunities. And so I'm starting to see that. I'm newer to it. I've only been doing it for a couple months, to be honest with you. So I think I started in mid-June. So I'm still kind of trying to figure out, I think, that landscape of what it looks like. But I know for me, this is just the beginning, and I want to keep being more involved and trying to push for, you know, additional funding and policy changes and things that we need to get these people taken care of properly.
Oh, I love your passion. I love that you do that. Last question, any advice for someone who wants to volunteer but hasn't taken that leap yet?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think you just have to take the leap. You know, you have to just pick up the phone. And, you know, I was like looking online and the volunteer opportunities. I knew that this is what I wanted to do. And the online thing wasn't really working for me. It was like, I needed to pick up the phone, and then I needed to go in there and talk to them and, you know, get hands-on with it. And then once I was in there for like 5 minutes, and I was like, oh yeah, this is totally up my alley. This is totally what I want to do. So I think it's just, taking that initiative. And I mean, there is, if you don't know where you want to volunteer, I don't know why Meals on Wheels has always resonated with me, but whatever it is, there's actually a lot of websites out there. You can just start Googling like volunteer opportunities near me. And there's a lot of sites and pages and things that come up. I think you can even call like your local city governments, you know, and say, hey, are there, you know, nonprofits I can get involved with? I think there's a lot of opportunities. And of course, through churches and, you know, senior centers, youth programs, food pantries, you know, shelters, et cetera. There's so much need out there is what I'm also finding from a volunteer perspective. And it's also making time for it. And I have just blocked it off on my calendar once a week. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm making that commitment. And I treat it like a work commitment. I treat it just like a meeting, a standing meeting on my calendar that I would, you know, for business purposes. And I think that also helps to just, you carve out the time. You can't be wishy-washy about it, and that will serve you well. So that would be my advice.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for all your work with Meals on Wheels. And thanks for telling us about it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Thanks for listening.
So thank you for joining. Let's just kick off with maybe just a little bit. I know you've done a lot of different types of volunteering, but maybe just an experience or something that you're currently doing with volunteering.
Sure. I know, you know, but for your listeners, we do a lot of work with nonprofits, primarily in the Colorado market. But I think one of the things I have gotten into probably over the last 10 years is the kind of personal impacts, you know, selfishly, you know, the impacts to me personally have been pretty powerful. And so, you know, some of the organizations that we work with include, there's a local nonprofit here called Denver Urban Gardens, and they build and maintain, I guess it's like more than 200 gardens that are spread out across the Denver metro area. And each garden has a community that farms it, basically. So you get a plot of land, it's usually a 10 by 10 box. And for me, because I was a Denver urban gardener for about 10 years, I really loved, you know, growing tomatoes and growing herbs. And it was very hobbyish for me. But what happened was I started meeting these amazing individuals who were also gardening, and they were growing food from their home countries, things they couldn't buy in the grocery store. And they wanted to share those with us. And they wanted to share what the thing was and how they made it and why they grew it. And then, like, you kind of came into contact with people who wouldn't have normally been in your life. There's this story where I was, the garden that I was planting in was next to a low-income housing community. And a lot of the people were gardening in my garden. And so I was there one day and I was, you know, pulling up tomatoes and things, and a bunch of kids kind of ran around the garden and they were, you know, roughhousing, and they came over and I was chatting with them. And as I was pulling out a bunch of carrots, one of the kids said, "What's that?" And I was like, and I held up, I mean, it was like a Bugs Bunny carrot, like orange, you know, had the leaves at the top, the roots coming out. And I was like, "This?" He's like, "Yeah, what is that?" And I thought he was messing with me. And I was like, "It's a carrot." And he started laughing so hard. He was like, "That's not a carrot." Ah! And I was like, what are you talking about? So these kids had never seen a carrot. They had gotten the little tiny round nubbins that you buy in the plastic bag at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Had never seen a carrot, you know, like with a capital C. And so that moment where I was like, how our food grows and how it mm-hmm. impacts our communities and the education that comes with that, like that little story, which at the time was so funny, was actually super shocking. And so, I mean, for something like mm-hmm. Denver Urban Gardens, it's life-giving. It's not, my experience as like a little garden hobbyist was so insignificant when you looked at the impact of these gardens across the community. And then the other thing that's amazing is that just this year, the Surgeon General, it was in May, the Surgeon General came out with a report that said there was a warning about this epidemic of loneliness in the United States and how loneliness can lead to heart disease and stroke and mental illness, and how as a society, we are becoming more and more isolated. And at the same time, CU Boulder came out with a study that said that community gardens, it was data that community gardens overcome loneliness and create better health, both mental health and physical health. And so those two things kind of happened at the same time, where you found this epidemic of isolation and loneliness, and then community gardens like creating this solution, this antidote. So I don't know, when you think about like, you know, volunteering for a nonprofit, right? You're like, okay, well, I'm going to sort some food, but God, the roots of those organizations go so deep and have such great impacts. I feel like the more you know, the more you learn, the more you feel like you are doing something that really, you know, has legs within your community.
It's like you took all of the questions and like wrapped them into one, because one of the questions is, beyond like altruistic reasons, you know, what are some unexpected benefits that you've experienced both professionally or personally?
Yeah, I think for me personally, one of the other groups we work with is called We Don't Waste. And they're kind of a two-sided organization. That. They're amazing because they take food that would be destined for a landfill, and it's perfectly awesome food. So an example would be like, if a grocery store was loading like 4 pallets of raspberries and that pallet fell off of the forklift, but none of the berries fell out, they would throw those berries away because they were considered damaged, even if they were perfectly fine. So We Don't Waste says, you know what, we'll take those berries. So they come pick up 4 pallets of berries, and then they make sure that that really high quality food is given to individuals in need. And the thing that's tricky and it's amazing about what they do is a lot of the food that they claim is perishable. So you have food banks all over the place, right? Which are really important, but they have pasta and rice and cans of food, but like bananas, dairy products, meat, produce, things that are perishable are really hard for organizations to rescue. So We Don't Waste focuses on that and gets the food. So, it's keeping it out of the landfills, and it's also tackling hunger. So for me, I started working within their distribution center sorting. And that was really fun and super social. I got to know a lot of people, but the real impact came when we started volunteering at their mobile markets. So you're in your car. If you're somebody who is in need of fresh food, you get in the car and you literally drive through this kind of, it's a drive-through. It's like 7 tables, and at each table you get a bag of food. And so the markets I've been a part of, there were, you know, bags of lettuces and onions, there were tomatoes, there was yogurt or milk or eggs, really amazing food, all in perfect shape. And so each time you hit a table, a volunteer is there to fill your car with whatever food we have. And it's scaled for the size of the family. You're talking to these families and they're kind of interacting with you, and you're engaging with them. And a lot of the families were like, you know, the fact that I'm getting food here means that I have extra money to buy shoes or clothing or pay my electric bill, because food is always the primary. You have to have food to survive. So for me, the sense of understanding that these people are just like me, they're just trying to feed their children. Yeah. They're just trying to support their families. the real life interacting with the individuals who were in need was so incredible and so powerful, because I was like, this is just like me. These are people who are just trying to support their families. And so it changes you. You know, you see the need and the positive impact, and you just want to do more.
And so many people feel like, I don't have time, right? And that's what I always, like, you and I have this special connection, because we hardly ever say we're too busy or how are you? I'm busy. Like, we've taken that out of our vocabulary. And one thing I love about you is that you run this business. You are by definition very busy. And yet there you are sorting food, working the mobile markets, all the other things that you do. And I think, like, here's the busiest person I know who never says she's busy, but is busy. And there you are volunteering. And so I don't know if you have a thought about, like, there's always time, and that making the time a priority is worth it, to have that feeling of giving back and not just being absorbed in our own, like, circle of busyness. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, you make me sound like I'm this incredibly altruistic, like, person who just gives back all the time. And I wish I was that person. But when you say, how are you? I will never say I'm so busy, because busy has become the new fine. And right. I schedule it just like I would schedule, like, a doctor's appointment or something that is immovable, right? So I know there's a mobile market. It's coming up in 3 weeks. I put it on my calendar as a block, and then it doesn't move. Like, it's not negotiable. And so if somebody wants to meet with me during that time, I cannot. And so I'm not really great at, like, the spontaneous volunteering. I can't be like, oh, let's just go in 2 hours or tomorrow. But when I'm planning it in advance, I think what I find is it's always hard to get there. Oh, I really can't do it. I really don't have the time. I really shouldn't go. I really should stay here and finish fill in the blank. But then you go, and the 2 hours of volunteering, it's like being on vacation, in that your brain just feels different. You leave feeling lighter and inspired and more creative, and you go back to your job being better at it. And it really feels like the way you come back from vacation feeling like you've had a reprieve. To me, volunteering is that. It just resets the way that your brain thinks about things.
And sometimes I feel like when you're in that, I don't know what that zone is, but just feeling kind of, I don't know, sorry for yourself or feeling overwhelmed.
It's overwhelmed. It's always easier not to go, right? Just saying I can't go is easier than saying I won't miss it. It's always easier to say, I just can't, but you always can. And it's just a choice, and carving out that time for me. I'm not saying that this is right for everybody, but for me, has made me better at running a company and inspiring others and trying to kind of create good within my company, within my home, it really does kind of change the way that your brain thinks about things.
Well, and that's kind of the second question, is really talking about social issues in your community. And you talked a little bit, with the gardens, but any other observations where volunteering kind of played that positive or pivotal role in the change in a community?
Yeah, I really wanted to talk about this one because in Colorado in the past year, we have had multiple incidents of gun violence against youth, and specifically in the high schools in Denver, where my kids are both in high school. And I felt like, personally, I just was so angry about these children being gunned down. And regardless of what you feel about guns, and I have no opinion to share about that, I just wanted to do something. And so there's an organization called Guns to Gardens. It's a national organization, but they have chapters, and they have a Colorado chapter. And so I started reaching out to them and wanting to get involved with them. And they're an organization that simply says, if you have a gun that you no longer want for any reason, we will take it and we will safely dispose of it. And so they're not ripping guns out of people's arms. They're saying, if you're a widow whose spouse has died and had a lot of guns that you no longer want, we will take them and get rid of them. If somebody in your family took their own life with a gun and you no longer want that gun in the world, we will take care of it. So this is simply, they call them safe surrender events. You can surrender your firearm in a safe manner. You drive up, a gun expert opens your trunk, you keep the gun in the trunk, they check to make sure it's empty, then they take it, and on site, they actually chop it up And then the reason it's called Guns to Gardens is they take the guns and they melt them down into garden tools. And those garden tools are then used to create life. You're using a shovel to plant a seed to create life. So it's this kind of full circle organization. So I started getting involved. And then my daughter, who was a freshman in high school, was most impacted by these young people being killed. She said, I want to get involved. So she came to an event with me, and then she decided to start a high school club at her high school called the Guns to Gardens Club, and say, for kids who want to do something and want to have an impact, we're going to be able to substantially measure how many guns we're taking off the street. So like at the last event we hosted, we took 38 guns off the street, and six of them were semi-automatics. So
again, that's like amazing.
That's something where like, and I think, you know, one of the things I think we should talk about is like advice for somebody who hasn't really jumped into volunteering, because for me, finding organizations that I am passionate about or something that's close to my heart, and that could be something that's fighting hunger, that could be has an environmental mission, it could be one that supports children. Go find the organization that supports something that you're passionate about. For me, it is hunger and it is gun violence. And those two things are my hot buttons. And finding organizations that are doing something about those issues in my community gets me excited. And so all you have to do is find an organization, go to their website, and every single one of them has a get involved button. And you click on it and it'll say, we have an event, or you can volunteer here, and like, just do it. The other thing is go with a friend the first time. So much easier to go with a friend or a neighbor or a colleague, or organize a small group from your office to go do it the first time, and then you'll know what to do and where to go, and you can go again the second time. But the first time, it's always easier to go with somebody. But I just feel like finding something, and we all have something that's just been bothering us that we just feel like needs to end or needs to be improved. That's the thing for me that really drives me, is like, I can't stand the idea of food being thrown away, and I can't stand the idea of children being hungry. And if you take those two things, you come up with Denver Urban Gardens, growing food in mostly food desert communities. We don't waste, saving perishable food from going into landfills and going to people in need. And then for me, the gun violence issue, which is Guns to Gardens, which is hosting safe surrender events for people to safely give their guns back so that they don't stay on the streets.
It's really great advice, because I think about so many times when we're talking about something that we're sad about, or, you know, seeing on the news, and you think like, I'm really sad about this. I want to do something. And what you're saying is just like, do them. Then if that's upsetting you, go do something, and you'll feel better about it, knowing that you're part of the solution. And I would suggest that you take me.
Girl, you come with, I would love that. I think it should be, you take me.
I love you. Best.
I love you. I love you. You're the most. You're the most.
Thanks for being.
Oh gosh, such a pleasure. Anytime.
So can you just give a short description about what volunteering you do, so that it kind of gives context to the rest of the questions around like what you get out of it?
Yep, sure. And you'll hear my volunteerism is kind of broad, but one thread that probably won't come through to everyone that's listening that doesn't know me is it's aligned to things that I'm really passionate about. So I firmly believe that you'll make time for, and you'll invest, you know, and move priorities and things that hop up if you're passionate about it. I think a lot of times people just pick things because it's easy or it's close to home, or they sit on a committee and then they fatigue from it quickly, or it becomes another just to do that's not very life-giving. So for me, it's kind of threefold. At this stage in my life, I don't do as much like, you know, food pantry, like things you typically think about as I used to, but I'm starting some new accounts. And so for me, my volunteerism as of late has really aligned with board participation. So I'm on the Community Foundation Board for Richmond, which is like one of the largest ones in the country. And a lot of people just think about that as like money managers for, you know, the rich and philanthropic, old money in Richmond. But what's so incredible is it's given me an opportunity to actually meet with the staff at the Community Foundation. that are working on really complex issues for City of Richmond, which is what I care about. So housing, homelessness. And so my volunteerism is devoting hours to some of those regional strategic plans and things that we're doing in communities there. Another board, which is very different, it's a fundraising board, which is a little bit challenging, at Families Forward Virginia. And they are really passionate about second gen kind of transformative change, primarily by preventing child abuse, but also through in-home early nursing. So I do site visits with our local CHIP program out Chesapeake to meet with moms and toddlers. My most recent visit was really cool. I got to sit with the new mama and help her fill out the eligibility application because she was struggling on Common Help. And then just the stuff that I kind of do in my community. I live in a little town of 28,000. So we have started an organization called Young Life here in Powhatan, which is a faith-based organization for high school kids. It's not affiliated with the church. But it's a real simple message that they've been created for a reason. There's a creator being that loves and cares deeply about them, whether or not they believe in him or not. And there's other people in your high school realm and kind of beyond that care about you too. So those are kind of my three where I'm spending a lot of my time right now. And then KPMG is hugely passionate about early literacy and for children. So I do a lot of like book early literacy stuff in the east end of the city. I'm part of their community action network. And we also then just do, you know, things around our community. There's a local farm, Shalom Farms, where we just most recently, my entire Virginia team went and we harvested vegetables that were going to go bad in the fields that go out to the communities in the area. And then in Indiana, my team there, we're doing very similar things. We had an event. Actually, you were at it. You were a little bit late to it, so I don't know that you got to do the fun stuff, but we did a can donation to Gleaners. And then we created cards for the kids at Riley's Children's Hospital. So,
well, I love that. And I also love that there are different things. And I think when you said the food pantry part, I think when people think of volunteering, they think of that. But we all have these different talents and skills. And sometimes, even if it is just money managing, it may not be like the packing of food or something with your hands, but using your talents in different areas are needed at all levels of volunteering, you know, in all levels of nonprofit. So I love the smattering of things. You know, beyond the altruistic reasons, what are some of the unexpected personal and professional benefits that you've experienced or even witnessed as you've gone through your volunteering journey?
When I think about volunteerism, I don't know if I ever told you this. I'm a daughter of a Pentecostal minister.
No, I didn't know that.
And so, like, literally growing up from my earliest memories, I did this big core values exercise and I was trying to name what are my core values. And I landed on giving as one of them. And so I traced it back to like my earliest childhood memories. And like, I was very, very poor growing up. I never knew this because my parents did a good job at hiding it. But like, we didn't have health insurance growing up because my parents couldn't pay bills, but they put me in like private schools and things like that. So I always thought we had money. But anyway, regardless of that, my parents were examples to me, like they gave. So it's been embedded in me. And so, Maureen, it's like, it's just a little bit of who I am. Like if I don't give, then I start to kind of get into a funk. I start to lose meaning. And so for me, it kind of is just who I am. And if I'm not doing it, and I go through spells of that, I have to just kind of bring myself back and say, where am I giving? And it could be time, resources, and all the things. I would say the most recent one, though, was that visit I just mentioned about being in Chesapeake with that mother. You know, consulting on all these great topics where we're trying to change the world sounds so great. But to put a human face to it and like be sitting in the home with that mama and her 11-month-old, I don't know. It just kind of puts a new anchor and perspective on it.
Well, and that's such an amazing tie-in because the other question on this edition of Community Table Talk is how volunteering often is tackling some of life's really complex social issues. And I, you know, when you mentioned the application, I was thinking about our project in Virginia where we were trying to design processes and flows, you know, for the caseworker, but also for the clients that, you know, we were, you know, Virginia is serving. And it makes me think like, how does that work or how did that visit with that mom, like that application, how did it feel to be on that side of it versus, you know, trying to design a computer program or something?
Because it makes it so real when you hear your clients push back, right? So it's the state, it's the employee, you know, they're trying to do what's right, but they get blinded by the efficiencies and all the tasks and the workloads they have on their plate. And when you've gone and had that experience, you're much more likely to continue to push hard on things that you like really believe in on behalf of the citizens. Without doing that, then I think you're kind of swayed by the empathy for the caseworker or the employee. And you're like, oh yeah, you're right. This would make it much more efficient. But again, when you have that mama kind of in your head, it brings you back to the ultimate outcome that you're after.
When you come face to face with the people that you're trying to serve, it is a completely different ballgame than sitting behind policies and laws and processes and systems and all of that stuff. So I appreciate your story.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
And so how do you make time for all of these things that you're doing? And I guess the third question is really around like, what advice do you have for people that aren't doing it? And maybe some advice for them on how to start?
And actually it's a timely question because in full transparency, the last year workload wise has, and life wise and all kinds of things, I won't go into it. It's been a really, really hard year. Like if you look at my just calendar, Monday through Friday, and even through the weekends, it's triple booked, quadruple booked every single day, to the point of complete exhaustion and fatigue. And so in September of this year, I was actually wrestling with this exact question. I'm spiraling out of control. I'm not getting my arms around the things that I'm passionate about and where I want to be spending time. I'm just going through motions. And this gentleman sitting next to me said, he was listening to me kind of rant about all the things I can't get done. He's like, we have to make time. And I was like, well, yeah, that's easier said than done. But look at my calendar. Like, how would I do that? So I actually did. I cleared out a full 5 days, which was nearly impossible to do, but the world did not fall apart. And I got this like little notebook and I got colored pencils for my daughter. And I put in there each of my most important people in my life, my husband, my three kids, and then myself. And I color coded like just for the next month, what are some things that I absolutely want to make sure that I accomplish? And then I've started declining things on my calendar and just trying to kind of stay anchored in that. And I will say it's really, really painful. A lot of people are like, why are you dropping so many balls? Some of my leaders are kind of upset with me on certain things, but it's a necessary pain to get me to a place where I'm in control of my life and it's not being dictated to me. So I don't know, Maureen, that sounds a little bit like, you know, platitudes, but for me, literally, that's what I've had to do. I had to get out a notebook, create my strategic plan around my most important people and my most important priorities. And everything else is just going to have to fall for a bit until I kind of rebalance.
I don't think it sounds silly at all. Like, I love the idea that it's also really visual, you know, and it's like a reminder that I say these people are important, but my calendar doesn't reflect that they are. Or I say that giving back is important, but I've made zero time for it. And I've let other people and other priorities fill it in for me instead of me deciding how I'm going to, you know, prioritize my own life. You want to be the strong person that you are. You also have the power to say no and set boundaries. And so I've just learned so much from you and I just appreciate your perspective so much. And
it's refreshing to meet others that are kind of trying to do the same thing. There was a guy and he had this mantra and I've adopted it as my own personal purpose now, but it says, and I've paraphrased it now to apply it to myself. Yeah. But when I get in these moments, Maureen, where I'm just ready to throw in the towel, it's too hard, this is too complex, I'm done. I go back to, what can I, Tricia Harper, in the seat that I occupy as a partner in KPMG, do with the resources at my firm's disposal to impact the lives of a Virginian? And what can I do today to impact the life of one person? And like, I just kind of go back to that and just say, that's pretty meaningful. That's a give back today. And if I don't, you know, make it out to Shalom Fields or up to the East End for a community event for a couple months, not to kick myself, but to know I'm doing the best I can. You're right. And to give yourself grace.
I really appreciate you. I appreciate your friendship. I think you're an incredible leader, and anyone that works for you, gets to work with you, is really lucky. So, and I'm happy to be in that little circle sometimes. So thank you for talking to us about your volunteering and just like how to manage life. And there was a lot more packed in there than just volunteering. Like, I think there's a lot of wisdom, and I think that women in particular, at least in my circle lately, have been kind of struggling with wearing stress and being busy as a badge of honor. And
yes,
and it's kind of the opposite. So you model good behavior for us. Thank you.
Well, the feeling is mutual, and this actually felt like a little bit of a therapy session. So thank you.
So I guess just starting out, if you could just give me a little bit of a description of what it is that you volunteer, like what volunteering, I mean, I'm sure you've done a lot of things, but maybe just a couple of highlights.
Yeah. So I think a couple of things. I'm now the current president of the Indiana Writers Center, which started in like 1979. So to get tapped for that was pretty cool. And we focus on writers of all genres, every place that you are in the process. If you want to take classes to learn poetry or whatever it is that you want to do. And I write fiction, so I wanted to turn one of my novels into a play. And so I ended up taking a playwriting class with them a few years ago. That book still is not a play, but I got some other stuff on. So it's been really good. But what I think my passion right now is, you know, since the pandemic and everything, our students are just so behind in reading. And so my friend and I, who's an educator, Kimberly Ransom, we started a summer camp and our launch was in 2021. And it's called Write On, Read On, W-R-I-T-E, Write On, Read On, for kids who are just struggling with maintaining their grade level and that kind of stuff. So we wanted to figure out how to make reading fun. Uh-huh. So we allowed them to write their own books, and they were just this collaboration of short stories. And we had Bangley fifth and sixth graders who absolutely hated the idea when we started. You know, they were like, no, we took these little surveys that did, you know, who wants to write? They said, no, absolutely not. So by the time we got finished, then they had their own product, their own little stories. So they wrote about space monkeys, and the girls wrote about romance, and you know, everything. So they were really cute little stories, and they got to see their name on an actual book. So we taught them everything from not just reading, but marketing and sales. We had a book signing. So we kind of kept up with that kind of stuff. So making reading fun for kids, I think that's the way to engage them. So that's really what I am enjoying doing right now.
I love that so much. And it would be interesting. I don't know. Sometimes you hear kids, you know, are in college or even like after college, and you say like, gosh, like what, how did you get that inspiration? And I bet you, I mean, I would put money on it that someday some kid's going to write, you know, or be a playwright or some kind of, and say like, it was this camp I took in fifth grade that like planted the seed, you know?
I hope so. Yeah. So I hope that's the inspiration, or at least to explore some aspects of that. We did the founder of the school is an amazing visionary, and she wanted the kids, the fourth to sixth graders, to learn Shakespeare. So our second project was we did a play. They did Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. Uh-huh. And so that was fun. It was a little challenging, and, you know, when you're you know, trying to teach Shakespeare, and I didn't know a lot of Shakespeare myself. So to teach it was fun. And we had to do some creative things because the language is difficult.
Yeah.
And so we got to modernize it and add a little music. And so it was a really, really fun production.
You had told me a little bit about it, but I didn't know it was so involved. That's really, really cool. So one of the questions we're asking all of our guests on the Community Table Talk are, what are beyond, you know, beyond some of the altruistic reasons, what are some of the unexpected personal or professional benefits that you've experienced or even witnessed through your volunteering?
I think particularly with the kids, I think I mentioned before how they come in with these preconceived notions that they're going to absolutely hate reading. And most of it is because they just don't do it well. So when you teach them that, you know, everybody can read, readers are leaders, you know, this is a foundation that you're going to have for the rest of your life. If you're strong now, imagine how you're going to be in high school. You're never going to get away from it. So I think the light bulb moments that we get from just watching them create something that they didn't think they could create before. Like I said, to do Shakespeare was amazing. One of our kids completely forgot all of his lines the moment he stepped on stage, but you know, the other kids were there to kind of coax him. So those are the kinds of things I think you think that are rewarding for me, just to see these light bulb moments when you think, okay, I am making some kind of an impact.
And I know you, when we talked previously, that you had said that you hadn't done this in a while, but I did think it was kind of talking about the professional benefits. So right now you're working on this Department of Corrections project, and that you had previously volunteered for the, I think it was the women's prison. And
yes.
And it's just interesting to me how many stories I've heard of like that, where there's just this crossover where sometimes you're doing a volunteer project and you don't know kind of what's in store down the line. Any thoughts about that intersection or?
Yeah, that was really kind of fell in our laps. We owned a Fantastic Sam salon some years ago, and so the women's prison had a need for the ladies to have their hair done. And so we just started there and just going in and opening a salon for them. We went in once or twice a week. And just, I think anybody who's been in a salon or a barbershop, you know, that in itself can be therapeutic. Yeah. And so just having not only the opportunity to make them feel good about themselves, but to look pretty when they left out of the salon. So it was just, we created this really good atmosphere there. And I think it just helped us also from a business perspective to see that I think everybody needs to have some component of giving, no matter what your business is. I think businesses do better when you are giving back to the community in some way. And so to go in to have women and to interact with women who are atoning for their mistakes, and who are, you know, on the path to just a different life, to go in and to be able to just do something as simple as, you know, create a new hairstyle or to make them feel good about themselves coming out of there. We got a lot of good feedback about that from not just the women, but also from the system, the women's, the people who are running the prison. So,
yeah, I just got chill bumps. I love that. Cause it also, I used to volunteer in college, with the homeless shelter and with a re-entry program in the prison, and it like giving people kind of that dignity back to treat friends, and you know, because there's this component of re-entry where if you come out and you're not feeling good about yourself, like you're kind of more prone to not care so much about your future. So I don't know. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah.
And it kind of ties in with question two. Volunteering often includes tackling complex social issues. And you've talked a little bit about it, examples of experience or observations where your organization or whoever you're volunteering with is driving positive change in the community. And I think you've kind of even touched on that already, but just any other thoughts about that positive change that you're witnessing?
Yeah, I think, you know, going back to the kids that are in our program, they're in a very unique school. And these are mainly Black and Brown students or students who are typically needs-based students. And so to have, like I said, these kids that you're pushing in one direction, and you may see them in the food bank that the school has the next day. And so you recognize that, wow, we are really, you know, trying to make an impact so that we can change generational things. Mm-hmm. If we can impact them to, you know, want education and see it as a way out or leg up in so many places, it just, it's a good feeling to know that something is impacting these kids, that it's positive. So to be able to do that and to say, hey, you have this opportunity in front of you to make a change and to make a difference, regardless of your background or where you came from, all of those things, I think, make a difference. It's like you said, those little seeds that you're planting, because somebody else will come along and water it. You may not see the full bloom of that while you're doing it, but, you know, a few years from now, somebody else who will pick up this kid and say, hey, you know, let's build on this thing and let's make this really good. You're really great at that. You know, we love that you are here to do this. So I think just grabbing a hold of somebody that you can just empower just sometimes by your words.
Well, yeah, as you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, kids that are in those where their parents are probably struggling and having to work, and they probably, you know, there's a lot of benefits to also just being around great adults that are role models, and whether or not they become writers, they've experienced, you know, you're giving them confidence and love. And
yeah, I think so. You know, of course I want them all to become amazing writers and give me all the credit, but it's probably not going to happen. But again, just seeing yourself, seeing the experience, you know, I think if you can see it, you can be it. I mean, it sounds cliche, but if you don't know that theater exists, if you don't know that marketing is a way to make money, I think I've been a writer my whole life, but I never knew that it was a profession. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in a blue collar home where you just went to work. Mm-hmm. And so to have somebody to say, hey, did you know that, you know, you could really just make an impact with this creative thing that you just kind of played around with. I want to, you know, be able to do that for kids at an earlier age, because I didn't have somebody to say that to me.
So you are super busy, and we were just talking before we got started, like your schedule. And so how do you make time for this? And what advice do you have to someone who's not necessarily volunteering now, but kind of wanting to get involved?
I think you have to really determine that you're going to just do it, because you can spend 2 hours in front of a TV watching a program where, you know, you can just get in your car and make a decision. And volunteerism doesn't necessarily mean that you have to leave your house. You know, you can volunteer in so many ways. You can donate, you know, you can connect an organization to another organization. Maybe you are part of a church group, or your business is looking to do some volunteer work outside of the community. So just connecting those things, I think we can sometimes think that volunteerism is just one thing, and it's not necessarily that. It is what you can do and doing your best at that. So I say, you know, whether it's 5 minutes a week or an hour, just taking that and determining, okay, this is something that I made up in my mind that I'm going to give back.
And one thing that we've heard from some of the other guests too is to do something that you're passionate about, because sometimes, and not that like working in a food bank or something like that with your hands, like, you know, just time and labor, but also you're like matching your skill set and passion with something that needs volunteering is really special. And that, you know, is something that with the writing and kind of what your passions are, combining the two, I think is part of the magic, because it makes it more fun. And
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, finding the thing that you do best, and because there's always a need for it. So it looks different for everybody. And if you love it, then you find a way to build it into your schedule.
Yeah, to prioritize it. Oh, I love that.
Well, thanks again to Veronica, Stephanie, Trisha, and Janice for being on the show with us. And thanks as always to Maureen Life for producing the episode and conducting all these interviews. We'd love to hear from you and get your ideas and your feedback. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please reach out to us on the contact link on our website. News from the Peak is a project of Grace Peak Strategies and is produced by Maureen Life, David Ram, Robert Riddle, and me. You can learn more about us at gracepeakstrategies.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Grays Peak, and we're easy to find on Facebook and LinkedIn as well. This was News from the Peak. I'm Joe Mamlin. Thanks for joining us.
They can't hear the pre-banter, but what we've been talking about is how we want to make an impact.
Yeah, some of our best outtakes are because we hit the recording as we say hello. We have to have a good outtake for Joe. Long time listener, first time caller.
Right.
Because you have like the perfect smooth radio voice and I sound like a sneaky rat.
Oh, you can drive. Like I can drive at night if you want.
You know what? I can't even remember. She does a lot of different things. So it's funny. I couldn't remember and I asked her to be on it. And somebody asked me, I'm like, shoot, I can't remember, but it's good. Whatever.
It'll be good. Whatever it is.
I'm just so happy to see your face. Why don't we Zoom more often?
I know. Like, right. Just in the middle of the day. Let's just have coffee.
Right. I'm just going to work and talk to you and work and talk to you.
And you look so cute.
Okay, hi. Volunteering. I am such a good volunteer.
Did you have that sweater on yesterday? And I'll say, yes, I did. Did it make you smile yesterday?
Yes, it did.
Yes. It's a lot. It's a lot. So yeah. I sympathize.
And if you say anything or you like blank out, Joe can edit. He's great at the editing stuff. So, you know.
Oh, and Joe is.
Hi, Joe.
He'll be
our gonna edit it, right?
So,
is Joe editing it?
Yeah.
All right. So Joe, I feel like you're family. I feel like I have known you at least however long Maureen has had this amazing organization. We hear about Joe all the time. I'm like, of course I know Joe. Oh my God, me and Joe, we go so far back.
That kind of defeats the whole purpose of the format if I make them each 15 minutes.
Well, I don't know what to do. They have a lot to say.